Okay, guys, so welcome to today's biblical podcast. We have a Bible study today. It's the 8th of October, making sure I'm getting the month right, 2020.
Yeah.
And last week we started looking at baptism and we covered quite a lot. But at the end of our session, it was felt by many of us that it would have been a good idea for us to do a part two. So this week our study would not be structured the way that we structured part one, which was basically myself as a host presenting stuff and then us having a discussion. But today it would be more of an open discussion and everybody can discuss whatever aspects of what we covered last week and expand on it, and whatever scriptures we have that we would have studied and brought, you can bring those to the table. Before we go into those, though, there are two things that I want to cover. One is I want to provide a summary of what we did last week, and then we'll start from there. And in summarizing, there's someone whose experience we didn't learn about last week because she wasn't able to be here. So just to cover initially what we did last week, we started off our session by discussing or sharing with each other our baptismal experience, as you would remember. And we found some great stories in our fellow participants in the Bible study. We found some very interesting stories. And then in some instances, we didn't find a story as yet. So I think everybody here tonight would have shared their story with the exception of Sybil. So I am particularly looking forward to hearing how Sybil was baptized, and I would like to ask if she is comfortable, if she could share it with us.
Oh yes, I'm comfortable to share it with you guys. Great. I was baptized when I was a little baby, about, could have been a few days old, because my mom had complication in making me, so she was at home. And my background is Muslim, my mom is Muslim. And she wanted, of course, to bring me up as a Muslim. But my dad, he's Catholic, and his mom is Catholic, you know? So my mom was at home, and they just took me down to the registry office, and next thing you know, I was baptized, and I was christened, and everything happened so quickly that my mother didn't have time to even breathe. So I was baptized as a baby. The water was put on my head. And that's the only baptism that I know of.
Wow. So were you baptized into the Catholic Church, or was it Protestant? What was it?
Catholic Church, as a baby. Baptism as a baby. You know, in the Catholic Church.
So you were Catholic for all your life, or most of your life, and then you made a change?
I was Catholic for, I was a Muslim growing up. And I started going to a Catholic school, and I fell in love with Christianity, I should say, Jesus and his teaching. I was not so much a fan of, you know, doing the Hail Marys and all the other novenas and all the other things that they do. But I was very much interested in Jesus, and I was very, like, you know, sort of like connected in a way that it's so hard to relate. But I came home one day and I told my mother, now in school you have your roll call, you know, the roll that says, you know, Gary is Christian, Anna is Muslim, and so on and so on. So I was put down as a Muslim. And I wasn't allowed to go to church. I had to stay back. Me and two other girls, they were Chinese, and they were not, I don't know what, they were Shintos or whatever they believe in, but they were Chinese ladies, if that's the word to use today, I'm not sure. So to forgive me. And so the three of us stayed back, and the nuns would come across ever so often, and they would teach about Jesus, and they would talk about you and pray and stuff like that. And I was really, really interested. Something was drawn so much into me to go to church and hear more about Christ, hear more about everything, the gospel and all that. And one day I asked my mom, and she said, "You really want to do that?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Okay, you can go." And I was so happy, you know, I was so, so happy. And then, and that was about maybe 10, 11 years, I can remember. And I started going to the Catholic Church more and more. On Sundays or Saturdays, I would run away when I was older and go to church and come back home early. Now, my mom and myself lived at my uncle's house because my mom and my dad separated when I was just 2 months old. So instead of her getting a place to rent and all that, and she has a baby girl, he said, come at his house and live. And, you know, she juggled work and she juggled me, and I lived there, and I had to obey all the rules and so on. So when he was preoccupied, I would sneak out and I would go to church. And then I would come back home until he found out one day, and it was all blaze of glory. And then I started reading my Bible, and I understand. No, the Catholic Church never gave you a Bible to read, or they never insisted on you reading one. But I remember my aunt, one of my mom's cousin, sorry. She had a Bible, and she used to read. And my grandfather, who is a Muslim and was an imam of a church, he had his Bible. It was a very old Bible. And when he died, I got it. And I remember reading it, but it was all thou, this and thou, and I couldn't understand what that means. I started reading the English one that I could understand. And then I finally realized that, you know, something was missing. I think I was doing something so wrong, you know. They weren't teaching you what the Bible really represents. They weren't teaching you about, you know, faith and all these other things, of what you should be learning about. You know, you had all your novenas, you had to go and say so many Hail Marys, you have to do some. I was like, oh my God. And in the Bible, you don't have that. So then I was looking for a different church to go to, but a Christian church, to move along from that. So that is my lifestyle and my story, and I moved away, and I have never been more happier than I am today. One thing I must say, one thing I love about the Catholic Church was Tuesday evening, it had charismatic. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I know about that.
Dear girl, man.
Yeah, many who don't know about that, so do you want to tell them what that is about?
Charismatic.
I may not know what the charismatic movement is.
Oh, well, charismatic movement is, well, by the time I get there, most of the time the Hail Mary is all finished. So they have preaching of the Bible, you know, as a bunch of women. And they have a few men, and they have preaching on the Bible, which, of course, they always made a joke about it, that if they really were to do this on Sundays, everybody would leave because they wouldn't like it. And after that, we have singing and worship and praying, and you're lifting your hands up, and the music is playing. And then there's a time you could dance around and just get yourself loose and praising God. And my God, that was what I wanted. That was my calling. That was because in the Bible said, raise your hands, lift your hands, you know, praise God, lift your hands and worship. And I was so happy. I was so happy. I was so happy. Mm-hmm. And that's the best time of my life in the Catholic Church. I mean, I did other things, you know, I always help out with whatever they needed. I always did the bread line on Tuesday. I had a bread line. Some saint at heart, I can't remember exactly who it was. And every Tuesday I would go and, you know, take about 3 or 4 loaves of bread and leave it there so they can give it to the less fortunate to eat and what have you. And that's my story of me. And, you know, starting off as a Muslim to a Christian to a Catholic to today.
Thanks very much, Sybil. Thanks for sharing.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You probably would be able to hear, if you haven't already, because you probably heard everybody else's testimony on their own situation on the tape. Yeah. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, Bap, the first thing that we spoke about was this, exactly what Sybil did. That's the first thing that we covered. Then we flowed into baptism and examined what it is. What does baptism mean? So how I want to do this week is I want to throw it out there, you know, what is baptism? Just as we covered it, but again, from your own words, because I know some people may have done some more research. So I'm throwing it out to everybody. What is baptism?
Baptism is like renewal. And we spoke when we spoke last night about a spiritual baptism and the need to be baptized in order to join the kingdom of God. You need to be baptized to you know, have to receive the Holy Spirit and carry Christ inside of you. So I think it's like renewal, you know, death of the old in with the new. And of course we discussed, you know, the physical baptism, which is supposed to be an expression of the, change of heart. I think we said was the translation or something. I can't remember. Sorry. I should have listened to it. But we also spoke about the various ways, for example, through water baptism to make a physical sign of that spiritual change and the change of heart.
And anybody could feel free to chime in today because we're doing it a little differently.
Yeah. Baptism in the sense of like water baptism is identifying with the death of Christ and being buried with him, but it's also for remission of sins.
Mm-hmm. So you want to tell us a little bit about the identification with Christ, because we didn't cover that as much in detail. So I think that you raised it last week nicely, and we didn't spend much time on it. So Jan, if you want to share a little more with us on that.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody else wants to talk, but if not, like, I can pull up the verse where it has it.
Absolutely.
I had so many notes this week, but I didn't go through them and organize them. So now I'm like shooting myself in the foot. Like, where is this part that I?
Sorry.
And I have like 20 tabs open. It's Romans 6. Let me see exactly which one. Which version are we going to read today?
You make a choice. It's completely open today. Whatever you want us to read on, it's fine.
Okay, let me just search for the exact one in my notes. Let me just see. Okay. Let's go to the Anna version. Which one is yours, Anna?
The NLT, New Living Translation.
Okay.
We haven't had that in a while. That's cool.
Everybody has their own version.
I still have to look it up in King James, and then I'm like, okay, let me switch over.
Okay, which one we go to? NIT? NLT?
NLT, yeah.
Okay, cool.
The Anna version.
What are we reading?
Romans 6.
Oh.
We'll read the first, we'll see where to stop. Okay. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we also may have new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. It continues on about like death and stuff, but that was one of the points that I raised last week, that, you know, part of being baptized is identifying with, like, you know, repentance goes with death and baptism with burial. And there's a bunch of verses that symbolize that, but that one I thought was the most interesting, that spelled it out kind of clearly, that, you know, we bury that old man in baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I like that, because it's the truth. We bury the old man who himself likes to be resurrected all the time, you know? So
I know.
When we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, the old man dies, all right? And it is a new being living in us who is Christ. And that new being living in us, it's really that being that is acting through us now, was supposed to be acting through us. But there's the old man that keeps raising up. So it's almost like we have a new identity. We have a new identity in Christ, but that old identity is still rearing its head, and that's the fight between the flesh and the spirit. So Gary, in essence, is always rearing his head, trying to come back. But Christ is now living in me. And that's what being a Christian is, that Christ lives in you, and what you do is motivated by Christ, not by Gary anymore. So we lose ourselves because we bury that old man. And so once we bury that old man, we shouldn't let that old man keep coming back and coming back, which is, of course, the battle that we're in, because that old man is always trying to rear his head. And I have seen it in my life, you know? And it's good that you spoke about this, Jen, because, you know, we covered a lot of things last week, but it all makes sense when you start understanding this type of thing. And when you start understanding that, yeah, I flare up sometimes and I get really angry and for no good reason. But the truth about it is that that's not Jesus Christ in me. That is Gary, who was supposed to be buried. But who's always looking to poke his head up. Hey, you think I'm gone? No, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. And then you're like, shut up, you're gone. It's Jesus Christ living in me. I have no identity except my identity in Christ. And we all have our identity in Christ, as Christ has his identity in God. Because Christ was given this authority by God. And Christ then is leading us to a point where his authority is fully over us, full over us. And then once we're perfected and stuff, then he'll go back and give God back the authority, which is really exciting. And with baptism, that whole thing is being tied in. I know this is really hard concept for a lot of people to understand, that this old man is there, but it's really like you have two people. You have two people, guys, believe it or not. So we are possessed. We are possessed by Christ. So it's like a possession of us when we are baptized into Christ. And that possession of us is as a result of the death of that old person that was there, which is Gary. So, you know, sometimes when we're angry, we say, you don't know me, you know. Like, even as a Christian, sometimes you get upset at somebody. You don't know the kind of person that I am, you know. Of course you don't. Because Gary is really a horrible person. And that's him rearing his head there, you know, boasting about how bad he is. I don't take any nonsense, and you know? I can straighten you out. I can deal with you. That's the monster that we really are. But Christ is like, that's not the way to handle it, Gary. So I'm constantly fighting that. Jen.
Yeah, no, we all are every day. It's like,
but you know what? The good thing about it, we have forgiveness.
Amen.
Oh my God, we have such forgiveness in whatever we do. It's amazing. Now we can't take it for granted, mind you. We have to, you know, try and realize that whatever we get us angry or annoyed, well, same thing, angry. We have to try and remember that Sybil, that Anna, or that Gary, or Eric, you know, has to get out from there and walk away. And that person that you are in Christ has to sort of come back into you, you know?
And one of the things that we saw last week, Sybil, as well, is that notion that we have about what has happened to us and all the mistakes that we make. We are seeking, when John was doing his baptisms, he was actually baptizing people for the remission of sins, past sins. But what we saw is that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not for past sins alone. It's for future sins. So even as I am, should that old man rear his head, I still know that this is not a defeat of Christ in me.
Yeah.
So I know that even for the old man who may raise his head in the future, whether it's tomorrow, 100 years, Christ gives me the assurance
that
he has already forgiven me for those sins.
Amen.
Of course, because of that now, I'm not excited for the old man to raise his head anymore. I want the old man to remain dead, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, let me just say something. Sorry. Avalon just texted me. She got lost. She have a GPS, and I don't know what the GPS, so she got lost. So she's off. So she can't hear us. So she's trying to circle back and get herself in order before she can come back. Okay.
She probably missed her exit.
I'm wondering where she is.
Can I ask something, or are we still on last week?
Well, we're last week and this week and one. What we're doing is we're going through last week, but looking at the fresh scriptures and perspectives. So as we talk about what we talked about last week, we're hoping that everybody will bring their new scriptures and their new thoughts to it. That's how I'm trying to cover it. Maybe I didn't explain it properly.
You did. Yeah, you said you wanted to start by summarizing.
Right. Sorry. I should have explained a little. I want to start by summarizing. I want to go through it by summarizing each area that we covered last week and contributing to it with the new things that we have to add to it.
Am I allowed to add something?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing that we're covering is what is baptism, and we can bring whatever we have to add to it.
Okay.
All right.
Because one thing after our last session, one thing that came into my mind as a question or something that I thought would be good to dig in a little more this time is, who is baptizing us and who is supposed to baptize us? Like it says, the spiritual baptism, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean God has baptized us? And now for the physical baptism, right? That we said sometimes there's we should have a spiritual, a physical expression of that spiritual baptism. Who is, like, we have a John the Baptist, as we looked at last week.
Mm-hmm.
But who in this day and age, should we want to have a physical baptism? Who is supposed to perform it? Can it be any, can any Christian brother or sister baptize you in Christ? Like, who, how and who?
Okay, that's a very good question. You're trying to understand that whole process. My understanding, and again, everybody's free to bring it. Maybe I should ask if anybody wants to take it first.
I mean, I can take it. I think, because what I see in scripture is that there's, you know, baptism overall is one process, but with different steps within it. So that physical baptism you're talking about like, you know, the being dipped in water, someone doing that for you, you need someone to help you. I don't think it has to specifically be, you know, like you finding a John the Baptist or someone that's an apostle now. I think it's a, you know, where there's water, you can be baptized. And so one of the points I was going to make tonight is that if you have the time to read through the book of Acts, it's a really exciting book. Like I said, that's my favorite book of the Bible, but there are at least like 5 or 6 different stories about people getting baptized, you know? So it's good to see the different examples of like who was doing the baptizing, what circumstances they got baptized with. In terms of a spiritual baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, that's something you can just pray and receive directly from God. It's a gift from God.
Amen.
Someone doesn't have to like touch you and pray for you, or you don't have to say certain things. Like, this is between you and God to pray for, and then you receive it from the Lord.
So it's basically, that's why it's a gift. I mean, that's what we were saying. Like, it's because God is literally giving it to you directly. He's the one baptizing you then.
Yeah, but so you have to go get the gift from God. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
and like speaking in tongues, you pray for it. It happens, you know?
So this leads to another question. Sorry, Eric, you go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I really appreciate the question from Anna, because I think that maybe it helps us to understand that we have a different kind of baptism, you know? And for some of them, for example, the physical one that we saw, we read the example of Jesus and John the Baptist. It was like really the one example where you need someone in general, one person, if I can say mature in the religion to baptize you. But for the other one, as Jennifer say, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, those kind of things, we have the baptism of the fire, those kind of different baptism is really depending of the will of God. You know, some people can get baptized with the Holy Spirit the same day they accept Jesus as Savior, as their Lord and Saviors. Other people probably have to wait, but it depends on God. But regarding the baptism, like the physical, if I can call it physical baptism, like we have the example with Jesus, in general is some other Christian with some kind of maturity, they know the word of God, and they are able to do that.
Yeah.
But nowadays we have some pastor in charge of organizing the seven, those kind of things.
So you think like one of us, you know, we know the words of the prayer or whatever to baptize somebody to save their life. We can do that, right?
I mean, like I said, when you read through Acts, before each person got baptized, there was some sort of Bible study. So I think you have to at least be in the position to talk to someone to make sure they fully understand what they're doing first.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then after that,
I don't know, Barry, if tonight we will have the time, because really I would like to know if it's possible to read in Acts the story of Philip and the Ethiopian
eunuch.
Because I really appreciate this story, because Philip start to talk to him, and after he said, okay, I understood, now I want to be baptized. And he asked Philip if I need other things, and Philip realized that, oh no, you are right, you we can do that right now. And the guy said, okay, there is some we have some water there, we have a river there, we can do that right now. You know, that means in general, When you understood what is the symbolism of this baptism, and you have everything, you don't have to wait. But depending of some churches, for example, some churches are giving you really, as Jennifer say, some studies for months before you do it, and other churches, you can do it even after a few days or.
Like, I know in my experience, you know, you can call ahead and say, I want to get baptized on this day because I want people to be there to see it, to witness it, to, you know, celebrate it. Or it's like, if I'm in service and I say, I want to be baptized, I just go tell one of the ushers and they'll take me to the back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's cold in New York. I don't know about, you know, the going to the river or something most of the year, but I've seen people baptized in pools. I've seen people baptized in other things. Like it's water. It's the whole symbolism of it. I think it's the process. Once you identify and understand, then I don't think there should be any sort of reason to hold you back as a delay, you know, like to find a specific person to do it for you. Yes, you can. Like in the baptismal tank at our church, it's already steep. So you're practically already standing most of the way in water. Mm-hmm. And so it's different than going, you know, someplace where you're in a pool that's only a foot deep that someone has to try to baptize you in. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, I think it's the availability and your willingness and you being ready and, you know, someone to help you do it.
Right. I would love to have one of that baptism. I never chance to do that, you see. So
Eric,
whenever you're ready.
Eric, you want
I'm to ready
a scripture for us?
Huh?
You said you wanted to read a scripture for us.
Yeah,
in Acts it was Philip and the eunuch.
Yeah, You want to read it for us?
Okay. No, I was just saying that probably we can read it during
the do it now. I think you brought it up and it's good for us to do it now. Sybil, I heard you. Don't let me scare you. I heard you.
All right.
What is the version?
You can use whichever one you want tonight. Be flexible. Whichever one you feel is the best to read it in, we read it in there. Okay. You can tell us where to go, all right?
Tell us what, yeah.
Yes, apparently it's in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40.
My pastor always tell me about Acts. Everything is, go back to Acts, read Acts.
I tell you, that's my favorite book. It's so full of like,
yes,
so many things are happening. And so, I mean, because we're reading it, obviously it didn't happen all in one day. But just reading it, like, wow, this happened. And then this happened next. And then this happened next. And then.
You can go ahead, Eric.
Okay.
Acts what again? Sorry.
8, chapter 8, verse 26 to 40.
Okay, 826?
Yes, 240.
Thank you.
Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went.
Sorry, Eric, which version are you reading?
Sorry. Oh, I was thinking that it was the NIV. Sorry. okay, let's read the NIV.
Oh, NIV?
Yes.
And you said 8:26?
Yes, 8:26. Chapter 8, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandek, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran out to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can, he said, unless someone explained it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is his silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendant? For his life was taken from the hurt. Eunuchs asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the town until he reached Caesarea.
All right, that's fantastic.
Yes. So, Anna, you said something? I think you're on mute.
Oh, what is a eunuch? Eunuch.
A eunuch. Anybody wants to answer? A eunuch basically is Jenny, want to answer? You want me to take it?
You can take it.
Okay. Yes.
Hopefully, take I know. It. Yeah. Eunuch basically is a person who, from my understanding, is there are disputes on what a eunuch is, but my understanding is it's a person who is not does not have a sexual organ. All right, maybe he was castrated or was born without one. That's basically what a eunuch is. So he was a man who didn't have a penis, basically.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some people believe that it was because he was servicing the queen, like he was a guard for the queen, you know?
Yes, in some culture, they are doing that when you have to guard the woman of the king or some woman.
Yeah.
They have to pass through this process, if I can call it like that, to be able to join this kind of group.
They want to make sure that you don't have any relationship with the queen. So you want to continue, Eric, to tell us, to expand a little more on this?
No. I think I already explained my point, and really, I think this one probably brings another debate that I remember last week we talked about. Okay, is it there is one other for the baptism? For example, as Jennifer said, we need to receive some kind of studies before. You know, it's like a lot of things, and even sometimes also, I was wondering, with, for example, we discussed about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes some people just they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit even before the baptism of water. You know, those kind of things that really at some point, just God has to decide, and he can do whatever he wants. He's our God, because sometimes we don't have a specific chronology that you need to do that, you need to do that, you need to do that. As a human being today, most of the people people think that probably we should start with this kind of baptism. But as I said, we have some cases where the person just get the baptism of the Holy Spirit before even have the, if I can call it, the physical baptism of water.
As a matter of fact, Avalon, is Avalon back with us yet?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
I think she has a scripture to share with us that is interesting on this too as well. But if I could interject something here, all right? So I think, Anna, you asked a very important point earlier, and I like what you were saying related to the Holy Spirit, because for me, last week we saw where the baptism of John, this is the next point we go to, the baptism of John, from what source was it? Was it from heaven or was it from earth? From men, the baptism that John was doing.
From men, from earth.
That's what we saw last week, all right?
Yeah, but it also says it, there's a scripture that says that it also was ordained of God. Like, let me pull that one up.
Right, yeah, it was ordained of God, but it was, what was it, from heaven or was it from men? And Christ asked the Pharisees this question, the baptism of John, from what source was it? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? And if he says from God, then we'll say something else. So the point that I'm raising here is this, all right? John said, and I think this is important, what did John say? John said, I baptized you with water. Okay? But my question is, who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? Which is what Anna was asking or saying. John baptized with water. So John wasn't baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So when someone baptizes us with water, that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody could get baptized with water. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is performed by Jesus Christ. And I agree that the order of which one comes first and so forth, that's not for me to battle over. But if we go to Mark 1, verses 1 to 8, the Bible says, John said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He meaning Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the point that I'm trying to make. If Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit, which is something that gives a lot of people difficulty in understanding. Is this something coming through the air in a fancy thing and it comes down on us? What is the Holy Spirit? What is that spirit that we're talking about? There are many, many spirits in the world. There's a spirit of anger. There's a spirit of peace. There's many, many spirits. There's the spirit of, the world is full of spirits. Bible tells us, test the spirits. You need to test the spirits when somebody comes to us. That's how we know if they come with the Holy Spirit, which is what? The Spirit of God. So it's a spirit that Christ baptizes us with. His own spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. So when we belong to Christ, it's because we have God's Spirit living in us. And so that Spirit is the Spirit that is alive and living with us. But the old Gary is not governed by that Spirit. The old Gary has all kinds of weird, kind of dirty spirits in him.
Yeah.
And so when those spirits rise up, Christ crushes those spirits because it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me that really matters, which is Jesus Christ living in me. So that's why when you prepare for baptism is to receive that Spirit that God gives us. So I agree with what everybody is saying, but God is the one, Christ is the one who places his Spirit in you. And he determines when that is fit, whether it is at your point of death, at your point of life, or in between, or whatever. This is what happens with it in my mind. So the baptism that we should all crave and want, Avalon is coming in, the baptism that we should all desire for, in my mind, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not forsaking the baptism of water, if that's what we want, which is good, because God doesn't make anything that is bad in that sense. You know, it's like the Sabbath is good, the baptism with water is good, the proclamation of who we are is good in my view, but the Spirit of God is what we really want to receive. Because you could get baptized 1,000 times with water, but if you don't receive the Spirit of God, it's futile, in my opinion. Again, that's what I see.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe like how we all talked about water baptism, maybe we could all talk about our experiences with the Holy Ghost as well.
Okay.
You know, I received the Holy Ghost at age 11. It was after there was like a Christmas play at church, and it was A Strange Way to Save the World. And
that's the name of the play?
That was the name of the play, right? Okay. It was one Sunday at church. Like back then, it used to be the choir. You know, you sing a few songs, you have a little drama, whatever. Now it's the church is larger, so it's a different kind of production. But then that was the title of it, A Strange Way to Save the World. And they didn't just stop at the birth of Jesus for Christmas. It went through the rest of the life of Jesus. So it's not like, yes, this season, let's celebrate him being born, but what does that mean to you? And how does that relate to you, right? And so at the end of that, I was like, you know what? I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to pray. And I prayed and I prayed and they turned off the lights and it was like five of us there. My mom was with me. I was like, Lord, I'm not leaving until I receive the Holy Ghost. I don't care if they shut up the lights. I don't care if I got to spend the night at the church. You know, I understand what this means. Like, this is you living inside of me. This is what I want.
Yeah. Wow. That was great.
And so I think we were there maybe for like an extra hour. And like I said, they turned the lights off. They had left like one light on for us. They left someone there who had the key to the church so we wouldn't get locked in. And I just remember the moment that I spoke in tongues, but I also felt light. I felt like I was lifting off the ground. I felt like I wasn't even here on the earth anymore. I'm like, this is so glorious. This is so amazing.
You spoke in tongues?
You spoke in tongues?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, yes. That's great. So you got that gift.
So,
oh, my God.
For me, it was like, I never want to leave this. And then, of course, you have doubt, like, can I do this again? How did I do this the first time, right? So, and then, like I said.
You know what speaking in tongues is?
Not really, no.
Okay, so we'll talk about it after, Jen.
Yeah, but it's basically, it's speaking in a language that you don't know.
Oh, so, wow.
Again, in the book of Acts, it shows when they first received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other languages that other people knew and understood. But then there's instances where they spoke in tongues and people didn't understand. And so Paul talks about it later on. Like, there's a difference between like the gift of tongues and just like the evidence of speaking in tongues when you have the Holy Ghost. And he calls it like the language of angels. So it's a whole bunch of things. It's that the stammering lips, there's a whole range of what's considered speaking in tongues. But just for me, that experience, I was like, I never would want to give this up for anything.
Were you scared or were you happy?
I was scared because I'm like, am I really floating? Do I feel that? Like, I felt like I wasn't here, even though I opened my eyes and I'm like, I'm still here. I'm in the same spot. Wow. And, you know, the lights are off and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so, whenever I pray now and I speak in tongues, mm-hmm. I just feel like God is hugging me from the inside. It always brings mm-hmm. tears to my eyes. You know, like it's something that I haven't felt anything else like it in the world, you know?
When I was going to church as a kid, I used to go, we were Catholics, but during our summer vacation, my mom would send us to a Pentecostal or evangelical church, and we would go there every day. They would call it Bible school. So every day you're heading with your Bible to Bible school as a little kid going down. And then we in Bible school, and then all of a sudden, at some point in time when they have all these preachings and the sermons, then some people would start speaking all these things, all these strange languages and spinning around and stuff like that as a kid. I used to be so scared.
That sounds really freaky.
Yeah, but then later on I saw in the scripture where God says we speak in tongues, and Jen put it nicely by saying that there are so many different ways. Like, that's why I was saying the other day, when Eric prays, he prays in French. And don't be surprised if one day he's praying in French, but you're hearing it in English. Because
English.
In speaking in tongues, you the hearer sometimes hears something different from what you're actually saying, the language that you're speaking. And some, like in the case of one of the examples in the scripture, there were many people standing around, and each person from a different place was hearing what they were saying in his own language. Do you understand that? So I speak once. Like I say, my name is Gary, but there's somebody from France, from Spain, from England, from let's say Zimbabwe. And all of these people are hearing it in their native languages. That's one of the form of speaking in tongues. There's so many different ways that it can happen. So it's really interesting, Jen, that you had that experience. And it's said in scripture, God says that it's a gift that sometimes you get from the Holy Spirit. All right? Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, now Avalon, you're back with us? I thought she came in just now. Avalon.
I know you found your way home.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're on mute, Av.
You're mute. There was a detour, and I don't know where I was. I say, you know what? Let me put on my GPS.
But you survived.
I survived. I just got in. Yeah, here, Tango.
So yeah. We were talking about a few things, about the different points, and Eric was making the point that the order in which you get baptized with the Holy Spirit is for God to decide. It's not for us to say, oh, you have to do this first and that second. But one of the things that we know is the receipt of the Holy Spirit. But I said that there was something that you wanted to share with us, because I think it kind of like applies to what Eric is saying. So there's something that you wanted to share with us. So I think now is a good time for you to share it with us.
So before I share that, there's something funny. What Jen just said is that I have been like wanting to experience what you experience. For ever since I started going to church, since I was 6 years old. And it never happened to me. But I always dream about it. I always dream that the Holy Spirit is on me and I'm floating and I'm so excited and happy. But it never happened to me in this life. It happened to me in a dream. You know, so I just want to share that with you.
You dreamt this?
I dreamt that, yeah. I dreamt when you get the Holy Spirit, this is the feeling you're supposed to get. You know, like you're floating.
Can you share that dream with us, or is it private?
No, I can share it.
Yeah.
I dreamt it was, I don't know where I was, and I was praying and asking God, you know, to open my mind and to open my eyes so that I could understand. You know, I could get this feeling that everyone gets, you know, where they, like, they feel like they're out, they're in another world, and they feel the Spirit in them. And then I just started to get this feeling over me. And I was like so excited and so happy. And I felt as I was, as Jen said, I was floating. I was in another world. And it was such a great feeling. But it was just a dream. And when I woke up, I was very disappointed.
Aww. You can ask the Lord to feel it on earth and then just, you know, just keep asking.
It's like a really outer body experience. It's like, you know, I don't know. It was a nice dream. It was a good dream.
I think it's so funny how everybody's experiences are different, but they almost like made to watch people's personality. Mm-hmm. Like what you just told me, like that would have scared the shit out of me. like I'm such a, you know, such a like scientific, like the idea of speaking in tongues or, you know, floating and whatnot, that just sounds plumb scary to me. But it's funny because I noticed when my conversion was happening, it wasn't like I was like, it was suddenly inside of me and I was like, well, hey, who are you? It was like I knew there was something there that was different and I was almost like, how did you get there? Like, who are you? So I wasn't really even acknowledging it because I was sort of doubting it myself the whole time. And then, but I do remember one time when I was feeling really, really desperate at one point, and I remember sort of a level of peace coming over me that I'd never experienced. And it was the most remarkable thing and I couldn't describe it. And I remember, I think I told you, Gary, I remember I want to hold on to this so badly because I don't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's almost like I want this very state to last. And it lasted for a few days, but it was like an incredible feeling. And I'm like, this must be what people are talking about. It was just a feeling of complete peace. Like there was no tension, no anxiety, no worry. It was just like a gratitude and a peace. And I had never until that point had experienced that before. So I was like, well, maybe this is, you know, some of what people mean.
It's interesting that you're saying that because Jen, I didn't put my experience into that perspective, but as you shared that with us now for the first time, the experience that I had makes a lot of sense in that sense, because for me, I was reading about the Word of God and I started to float through space and my brain and my mind and everything. I was just in space and I was just floating through space and I was just going through the universe and it was so expansive. And the further I was going in space, I'm out there in space and there are just stars around and I'm going further and further and I'm like, oh boy, look at how huge, and it's getting bigger and bigger and I could not see the end. I'm just seeing the universe just expanding and expanding and my mind is going and my mind is going and it's going and it's going. And I don't know how long it went for, But all I know, a day passed. And then I heard somebody had come back home who had left early in the morning. And then I realized that I was just floating out into space, going through the galaxies and stuff like that. And that opened my mind to understand, to get a bit of an understanding of the vastness of the universe. But I never put it into the perspective of like God was taking me through an experience. I was just thinking that this was my crazy imagination, just Jen's favorite book, which we've covered, some of which we've covered. We're not going to talk about that anymore today.
I was supposed to share something.
Yes, you're supposed to talk to us in the capacity of, we were talking about when you receive the Holy Spirit. We covered that while you were not here. And Eric was explaining to us that the order of these things that you carry out, like the water baptism, Jesus Christ baptizing you with the Holy Spirit, that the order of these things, we can't dictate these things to God. God is the one who decides for us. And I mentioned that you had something that you wanted to share this week related to that.
Yeah, because when we were reading John, when he was baptizing, he talked about baptism for repentance with water. And then there comes one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I was saying, I think that some people may not be baptized by water, but they will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. For example, the example of the thief on the cross, or the two criminals on the cross, they were hanging side by side on both sides of Christ, of Jesus. And one condemned him and said, you know, mocked him and said, if you are the King, Son of God, why don't you just like free us from this? We could go to it is Matthew 28, I think. Matthew 28. I think it's Matthew 28. I didn't have a chance to.
Come on, Jen, let's see what you got.
Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 5. No, not 5. Jen should know where it is.
Yeah, no, I gotta look it up in King James. Sorry, give me 1 second.
Anyway, the one thief mocked him and the other one said, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, but I could see that you are the Son of God. And Jesus told him, he said, you will be with me in paradise. So this thief or criminal wasn't baptized with water, but yet Jesus told him that he will be with him in paradise. So...
We can go to Luke 23.
Luke 23?
Yeah, I didn't find the Matthew one right away, but...
We'll do the Luke.
Oh, is it 27? Let me see if it's Matthew 27.
Yeah, Luke 23, 32 to 43. I now see it.
Okay.
Luke what? 23, 32 to 43. Thanks, Jen.
No problem.
It says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with these words, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you are at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die?
We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Oh, wow.
So this is what I was referring to. Jesus told the thief that him in
paradise. Avlon froze, or we all froze?
I have something to say about that. So,
yeah.
Even like before Jesus was buried and resurrected, mm-hmm. That's when they were still doing the baptism of John, and the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet because Jesus hadn't been glorified yet, you know? So I think that was the point of time to pretty much like end, you know, we see it as the New Testament, but to end that old, that old covenant, the old style way. And then if you go forward, starting from Acts on, they're getting baptized and they're receiving the Holy Ghost. So I think this was the pivotal point. And because it's Jesus, Jesus can tell them, you know, whatever.
You're like forgiven.
Yeah. Cause he's the one forgiving us. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
they didn't need to be baptized. They didn't need to be all that. I forgive you.
They didn't need to be baptized in the water.
Yeah. Nope. He's a real McCoy. He's here forgiven, and that's it with me.
I have a slightly different take on this, guys. I have a slightly different take. So Christ said that when he went to heaven, then he'll send the Holy Spirit. They didn't need to have the Holy Spirit when he was on earth because he was physically present here. Remember, Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. So he was actually physically here, so there was no need for him to give the Holy Spirit when he was here. He was here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the pivotal moment. Like, while he was alive, mm-hmm. it was different versus after he had been crucified and resurrected.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me just expand on what it is I'm saying. So, like, for example, even before he was here, before Christ came, he was here because the prophets in the Old Testament, I believe, received the Holy Spirit. The prophets who were here before, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, because God selects certain people, Jeremiah, and he said, I chose you even before you were born, from a mother's womb. So God can put his Holy Spirit in whoever he wants. In fact, he sent his Spirit on different occasions in different places in the Old Testament. And then when Christ was here, as Jen was saying, there wasn't a need for him, the Spirit, to be here. So now, these are Christ's determinations, how he goes about doing it. But it's important for us to note a couple of things. One is that this was happening in the Roman days. These guys were being put to death, not just by normal death in the Roman days, but by crucifixion. And crucifixion was reserved for certain type of crime. The type of crimes that it was reserved for is, one, it was reserved for non-Romans, and two, it must have been for people who committed predominantly treason, rebels, people who were revolutionary, which is the same reason why they were killing Christ, because he was saying that he was king of the Jews and there was only one king, and that was Caesar, and they tried to tie everything up. So what I'm saying is that a lot of these guys who were revolting, they were revolting because they felt that they wanted to be freed as Jews from the reign of Caesar and these people. Now, some of them who were revolting were actually just pure criminals who just wanted to kill people, probably steal stuff. But some of them were like fighting for what they thought was a good cause. And they would be not just killed for it, but they would be crucified as a warning to everybody else. Do whatever you want, but do not revolt against Caesar. So these guys who were on the cross, it's a tale of two different human beings there. One is saying, challenging Christ, and the other one is almost in a repentant state, saying, you know, we know what we did, all right? Not because he was being crucified on the cross, it meant that he was, quote unquote, a horrible human being. You understand the point that I'm raising? So Christ, he may have been a human being with a repentant attitude who maybe had the desire to do good for the people, but Caesar put him up there, the Romans put him up there, Pilate put him up there to kill him because he had to be made an example. So sometimes it's a lot more intricate than how we just read it when we understand some of the background to it. So for me, when he said, you know, we know what we have done, we are revolutionaries or whatever, we know that we have sinned, so we are supposed to be crucified, but Christ didn't sin. So he understood that. So clearly he was in a state of being ready of repentance. He was in a state of repentance there, which is, excuse my language, but it's like the baptism of water, which is a baptism for repentance. But he was in a state of repentance. And so Christ said with him, from today, you shall be with me. Or if you want to put it as some other translations put it, Christ said to him, today, you shall be with me. So some one translation is Christ said to him, from today, you shall be with me. Another translation is Christ said to him today. He said to him now. He said to him at this moment, you shall be with me in paradise. So it's just a thought. That, and then also, we also have to consider that we don't even know if he was baptized with water before, because the scripture doesn't say, and he was not baptized with water, but he it doesn't say that, so we can't even impute that into it. The only thing we could say, and this is why I really agree with what Eric was saying, is that we can't limit God. That's all I'm saying. We can't limit God. To be in the kingdom of God, we have to have the Holy Spirit of God, because God says that in the Bible. But all the other things that may be very good, I don't think that there's anything. I haven't seen anything that says we must do it. Now, Sybil, you asked a question, which was a question about baptism. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wanted to, I didn't forget you at all. I remembered you. You want to tell us what it is you were asking or saying?
I was just saying that I miss having that baptism as a grown person to make that choice, you know? I didn't have that choice when I was small. I was a little baby. And my dad, Peter, pumpkin eater, him and my grandmother.
That was your dad's name?
Peter the pumpkin eater.
Oh, nice name.
Yeah. Took me, you know, and just got me, back then you could have done it easy, you know, and just got me baptized. And I grew up with sort of like a resentment in that respect, because I know and I have heard people going to get baptized, and then I hear you guys talking about your baptism, and I always felt that I missed something out, and I always feel and wish that I can have a second baptism. But, you know, I always was told that you have one baptism, and that's it. So well,
I was going to say, we discussed last week the passage where there were some people who were baptized by John from the baptism for repentance, but they hadn't been baptized, you know, like for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus, like that. And so they were rebaptized. So I think, you know, it's never too late. You make the choice and you can get baptized. Now, I'm not saying get baptized 50 million times, but you make the conscious choice.
every time you get in the shower, you get baptized.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Between you and me, I would love to have a baptism that I know what I'm doing. And, you know, I would love that one day. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yes.
I think at the point where you understand you want to identify,
mm-hmm.
pray and ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. If you want to go get baptized in water, you know, yes. most of us know places where you can go get baptized. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would love that.
Would there have places where you could go get baptized?
So, at this moment,
normally at churches. But like I said, I've seen people get baptized in a pool. I've seen people go get baptized in the river, whatever. It's the act of you doing it. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a particular place, okay. but it's when you make that decision to do it, go do it, you know?
Okay.
Well, you know, Sybil?
Yeah.
Avalon has a pool. Eh?
No, but you're on Long Island, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was on Long Island, yeah.
I'm on Long Island now, so if you want to meet up, we can go someplace.
We'll do that. Yes.
Okay,
good.
I'll contact you after. Yeah, we'll organize something.
Listen, we'll have a celebration of it. Everybody will come, they will look, and we will celebrate.
Absolutely.
And we'll
That'll be great.
Good. Yeah. Okay, now, guys, it's already 9:25, and I think it's time for us to close. We covered a few things. Is there anything else anybody wants to share on this before I just...
I had one last thing. Of all my pages and notes about baptism as a circumcision of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 2.
Wow, that's one. We have never read that one. You made it tonight. Colossians what? Chapter what? 2?
Chapter 2. Oh, sorry. Let me go back to the... It was NLT or which one? Let's see.
Yes, the Anna version, NLT.
Okay. So let's start, because this one has it grouped. King James, I'm like, where is this verse? It's still here. It's grouped. all right, let's start from verse 6. We'll go down. And now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. When your faith will grow strong in the truth you are taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of the God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. For me, just the fact that, you know, it's a circumcision of my heart. You know, in the Old Testament, they circumcise as like a covenant, and yeah, it was just the men, you know, that kind of thing. But being baptized is symbolic of us also making a covenant with God, but within our hearts.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what baptism is.
But it has to come from your heart, and you know, that is wonderful.
Yeah, because I was baptized in my old church, and it didn't come from my heart, because as I said, I went down dry sinner and I came up a wet sinner.
Aww.
Oh. I know. But,
that is such a nice way to put it.
Yeah. But you didn't really understand the concept.
I didn't understand, yeah. Yes. I just did it because it was the natural progression of being a part of the church. You know?
So. Right, yeah.
But again, guys, I must say one thing, and it's all great, but at the end of the day, these are all dependent on God. God is the one who does it in us. And even to get to the point where you could receive, it's God is the one who brings you there. Mm-hmm. You don't take yourself there. It's not because we're better people. It's because God does this. The circumcision is a circumcision of your heart by God. So we can't circumcise our own hearts. God has to circumcise our hearts for us, I believe. So again, that circumcision is so important that God would perform that on us, because when God circumcises our hearts, that's the real circumcision. Eric, the scripture that you shared with us as we're about to close, I want us to go through it again, if you don't mind, all right? That's in Acts.
Eight.
Went to Acts.
Eight.
Eight. From verses 26. I want to go through it with us again. All right? Acts 8 verse 26, I'm using the NLT this time, the New Living Translation. Anna would be happy. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord, too fast?
Yeah.
Okay, let me wait. Sorry, getting like Jen. Actually, I had it open before. Everybody there now?
Yeah.
28 what? 28?
Acts chapter 8. Verse 26.
Okay, sorry.
Not a problem. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Karanke, queen of Ethiopia. So as Jen explained why he was a eunuch, most likely. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he was now returning. It's important because, you know, in a lot of religious groups, they teach you that a eunuch is a different person. Eunuchs have to stand behind men who are not in that state and all kinds of crazy things. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Why would a eunuch be reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah? You know what I mean? Obviously, there was something going on there with God and him. God was the one who was doing this in him. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage, okay? Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Imagine you're reading and you don't even understand what you're reading, but you're reading still. That says a lot, you know? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? So the guy understood that it had to come from another source.
Mm-hmm.
And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and to sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. I mean, this is really stuff that you're just reading, sitting down reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. A eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. See, what the eunuch asked him is, what is this about? This was a perfect situation for Philip to preach to him. And Philip preached to him the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the good news about Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom of God, that God is going to liberate us and that he will be king over us in his kingdom. As they rode along, they came to some water. Sorry? Oh, let me see if I can mute it. How do I mute it? Oh, she came back. All right. It's okay. All right, let's continue. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? How did the eunuch even know about baptism?
Yeah.
From the Old Testament.
Philip was also talking to him about, you know,
about the kingdom of God. So mm-hmm. He probably may have said to him about the kingdom, about the good news about Christ. Maybe he included that. Or maybe it was just a practice of the day. At the time. Maybe.
Well, I was going to say earlier in the chapter, Philip is also preaching to other people and they got baptized as well. So Philip's just going around telling people about the Lord and about Jesus, like, hey.
Okay, good. So he ordered the carriage to stop and they went down into the water and Philip baptized them. Okay. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and at every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So
this is confusing though.
Why?
So Philip was baptizing him, but it sounds here like Philip for the first time. Philip was being baptized.
No, but Philip went with him in the water to baptize him.
So he himself got, I'm just confused because it says when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away.
Yeah.
They went into the water for Philip to baptize the eunuch. And as they came out, Philip just disappears.
Oh, it's basically Philip's like, my work is done, bus it.
The Holy Spirit just snatched him up and took him someplace else. Because like I said, earlier in the chapter, Philip's just preaching. He's telling people about Jesus. He's telling about this good news. And so the Lord is using him, just putting him place to continue talking about it.
Right. So what we're seeing is that the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Some of the things I wanted to say is that we're called for different purposes. We're not all called for the same. Philip has his role. The eunuch has his role. Everybody has their own role. Each one of us here have our roles. The body of Christ is full of all different members. Some of us might be an eye in the body. Some of us might be a toe, a toenail, a paw, a hand, a foot, whatever it is. It's one body. So Christ's body is one body, and we are all little parts of that body, whether it's millions or billions of cells or whatever we might be. One person might be a little piece of a lip, the next person the earlobe, I don't know, you know? But the body of Christ is one body, of which each one of us is the part. But each one of us is there for a different purpose, all right? So Philip clearly spotted up at that point, did his thing, and then God moved him to another area and to another group, to another place to talk to other people, because God may have been using, not may, but would have been using Philip that way. It doesn't mean that everybody's experience is going to be like that. Everybody is different. But for me, what it means is that, and I think last week when I mentioned this about the eunuch, that's what I was saying, is you could be baptized with water before, you could be baptized with water after, you could be baptized with, you know, I don't see any specific structure that this goes first, then that, then the other. So that's the point that to me I'm raising. And I really, really like what Eric said, which was that we can't limit how God does things. All right, now, for those of us who are baptized, if we're baptized because we want to be baptized, and that's great. But again, Avalon, Anna, Sybil, whoever it might be, you know, you have to make your own personal choices. That's what I think, you know, and if you want to be baptized and stuff like that, great. But I'm not going to make that choice for you. It's for you to decide. And I don't believe that in the philosophy of going around and telling people, go and get baptized now and you'll be saved. And they just say, okay, and they go and get baptized. I counseled for a whole year before I got baptized, even though I went and asked to be baptized. And I'm pretty sure if I had done that in many other churches, they would probably have baptized me immediately. I counseled for a whole year and I went through. And when I say counsel, guys, I don't mean counseling from the standpoint of reading a few scriptures and that's it. I mean actually walking with scriptures until you come to realize who you really are. You come to repent. And I think that that's why John did the baptism of repentance with water. It was a period of time to bring people to repentance, for people to see who they are. Because when you go through that phase, you actually see who they are, but not everybody may necessarily need that amount of time. Some people might happen to them immediately, because God brings you to repentance. So that's what I want to share with you. Any other sharings from anybody else?
I think it's been good tonight. Like, you know, the fact that we talked about it last week and then we had time to really think about it this week and just come with a few additional points as we rehash. Like, I enjoyed that. Like I said, I spent time this week reading a whole bunch of verses about baptism you know, so I could share some other notes on the wall in the biblical podcast, the rest of the ones that I have. I got like pages.
I really think it was interesting doing this, and it was a great suggestion that Eric made. Eric, we appreciate it, but I'm glad too, Jen, that you were able to look up a few scriptures with it too as well. And maybe it's something that we could do in the future too. Sometimes after we do one, and we might, if the topic is very heavy, we could actually go back and prepare and come back again with questions or with answers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, we could also have this conversation on the website too.
Yes, but well, you know, like the Bible study.
This yeah, I mean.
Two, all right? Mm-hmm. You mean when you say the conversation? You mean as a recording?
No. Like, so you know, we talked about this, but even after this week, because this was two parts. If we still have something else that maybe comes to mind or something, like, the conversation doesn't have to end here. We can still continue it there.
Okay.
On your website, on the podcast website.
As audio or as
right? As just a chat, just if there's a thought, if there's a question, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you mean that we could just, yeah.
Yeah, we can still keep the conversation going. It doesn't have to be like another.
As a matter of fact, Jen, what I was thinking, and you tell me if you think this is good, that within the framework of the actual audio, then at the end of it, I could probably introduce a comment section where we could comment on it and have conversations, you know, ask questions or add other scriptures. So yes, you listen to the podcast, but then you could continue. Is that what you're saying?
You know, because you're going to listen to it again and maybe something came up in your mind and we've already discussed this topic a while ago. It's like, but I want to share this in case I listen to this again or somebody else wants to listen to this. This is something else that, you know, we can include.
Okay. And when you say include, you mean include as text or include as audio?
As text.
Yeah. So if I create a comment section below, then we could pop it in there. As based on the particular audio. So
I saw there was a feature for forums.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a feature for forums.
So too. Maybe there could be like a forum for each, okay. For each, you know, episode.
You really looked at it.
I really did. I went through the site. So.
Okay. So now that you mentioned that about the forum part of it that we've done, who will take over the forum part? Who is willing to do that? I'm not calling names. I'm hiding. Who is going to start the forum part of it going? No volunteers.
Pointing for someone, right? Whoever you feel this is pointing at you, right?
Anyone whose name starts with a J.
With a J? Whose name starts with a J?
We have two of them here, so.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's something we all can collectively do. You know, there's something someone wants to discuss after, you know, the podcast or the lesson is over, we can just create the form topic about it and then just continue there.
Okay, so then I'll give everybody access to create a topic, all right? Okay, good. Great. Anything else, guys?
Well, I'm very happy about the eunuch. He was saved. He heard about the preaching of, you know, Jesus, and he was very interested in hearing and listening. And I think the word of God touched him. And that's how, Jesus sent Philip to go sit with him and hear what he has to say. And he was baptized. So I'm very pleased with that, you know.
It's like, who will be in the kingdom of God? Who will be in the kingdom of God? So it's not like, okay, you're a man and because you have a penis, you'd be in the kingdom of God, or you're a woman. It's not like that. God shows us from the scripture that it does not matter.
Yeah.
The unit is there. Thanks to God. So this is the magnificence of God.
You said something remarkable when I was listening to the podcast today about, you know, you have 11 disciples. What happened to the other one? Where did he go? Right? And I always really prayed and asked God to forgive him for what he did, you know?
Judas.
And I often, beg your pardon?
Judas.
Yeah, I know. I often wonder, you know, he had a role to play. When we were in church, we had a big discussion about this, you know. He had a role to play, and his role was like this. And because of that role that he had to play, because we all have to play a role, you know, and he did what he did. Seeing that God could forgive everybody, and he did what he did. I pray, and we all pray. And we ask our pastor, you know, well, actually was the father, you know, Catholic Church, if you think he'll ever be forgiven. And he didn't know. He couldn't say. He couldn't say. But in my heart, I always wanted him to be forgiven, you know?
So, but when my turn comes around next, that's what my topic is actually about. I already planned a topic on that when my turn comes on next. What you said there was so pointed with what you said about we all have a role to play. That's my next topic. So that should be interesting whenever it comes around for me. But whose turn is it next week?
Huh?
Whose turn is it next week?
Oh, it's confusing because I think it was Rebecca's turn, but you...
Rebecca was baptism. That's this week.
Oh, or no, it was Dee's turn, but then you took my topic, which was baptism, because Dee couldn't come, right?
Right, and then it was Rebecca's turn the following week, and she gave us the permission to use baptism.
Oh, I think that means I am next.
You, Anna, yeah.
Hold on, let me check.
I think it's you.
It is me.
And then after you?
Me.
Avalon.
And then after Avalon?
You.
You.
So when is Sybil? Sybil hasn't...
Sybil is after you.
Okay, after me. Okay. So, all right. So, Anna, you want to share your topic with us? So maybe we could all prepare. You will share it when...
I don't have one yet, but I will share it. I will come up with something.
All right. Okay. So Anna will share her topic. All right. So we need two things. We need a closer and we need someone to pray.
Well, we have a closer already.
Good.
I know, that's Eric's role.
No. We have a special closer this week because last week she said she was going to save it for this week. Remember?
Yes. I'm so used to Eric doing it. That's what I was like, who else would be closing?
God is good.
Skillfully last week said to us, oh, you know what? I'll save it for next week. I didn't.
For next week. Yes, exactly.
That's true.
And then after Jen's permission for that, we need someone to pray for us. Who would like to pray for us tonight?
I'll pray.
Great.
And
I have a prayer request. Can I ask it?
Sure.
I've been having a really difficult time at work recently. Gary knows this, so it's been really stressful. I'm in a cabinet for a senior UN official where everything changes once a year. So it's since like middle of September, an entirely new team, an entirely new senior official, and the supervisor that I ended up with, it's not working out well. So let's put it this way. So it's lots of confusion, lots of stress, lots of you're killing yourself, but you're being micromanaged, and it's just has been a really hard time, and it's been stressful. So, and a lot of that was happening today, and I know Gary was probably dragged into it a lot too. So I would like to voice that as a prayer request.
We'll all pray on that for you.
Thank you.
Bye. I wish I spoke French, because then I feel like that would just like wow the masses.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't have anything profound to say because I've completely forgot about this portion of it. It's just, you know, in summary, search the scriptures. There's so many passages about baptism if you're interested in learning more. And then, you know, keep your heart and mind open and let the Lord speak to you and guide you down the next path you should take and what your next step should be, you know? But as we said earlier, like, don't limit God. Don't just think like, oh, it has to be X, Y, Z. You know, let God do his will in your life and let him guide you and order your steps to the next steps you should take.
Oh, that's wonderful. And keep, you know, be attentive to listen, you know, mm-hmm. You have to be very attentive to listen.
I know, like even in that passage, Philip was walking somewhere and the Holy Spirit told him, go talk to this guy on the other side. You know, like Remember, you have to.
You were the dear John with a woman who was by the subway.
With the gloves.
Yeah. You just have to be open and attentive to say, you know what, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, help me to be ready. Help me to hear you and not just like, I'd say more so listen than not just hear, because, you know, Jonah heard the Lord and he blew it up.
Let's not be like a Jonah.
Yeah, don't do Jonah, but be in a position to hear and listen and obey.
Yes,
you know, because what would have happened? I mean, if he didn't go to Philip, maybe somebody, the Lord would have sent somebody else. But why not? You know, I mean, if Philip didn't go to the eunuch.
But isn't that wonderful how God was so pleased with Philip? He glorified him in a way that he took him from here, as he were to use, from here, and he put him to another place. Because he felt the love, and he showed the love to Philip for what he did.
That's right. Like Star Trek, right, Sips?
Yeah.
Star Trek, me up, Scotty. Mm-hmm. I was in the Bible first.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, sometimes when I'm traveling, I'm like thinking, imagine the day will come when probably we wouldn't have to jump in a plane, but we'll just be able to move from here to another spot just like that.
I know. When Jesus came back after he was resurrected, he was just like appearing through walls and stuff. People were like, whoa, what's going on? So, you know, I love, like you said, like when you watch a lot of sci-fi things, like I've read this before. I've seen this before. Where did I see this? Oh, in the Bible. This is where they got this idea.
All right.
You know, but yeah, just leave your heart open for God to start dealing with your heart.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, Lord. Lord, Father God, we come before you and we praise you and we thank you for this wonderful time together and reading your scriptures and talking about it, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless us with your knowledge, your understanding, your wisdom. Most importantly, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Touch us deeply, O Lord. I pray, O Lord Jesus, for everybody here tonight, O God. I thank you so very much for all that you have blessed us with today. Lord, I ask you to forgive us for whatever wrong we had done today, O Lord, knowingly or unknowingly. Lord, in your holy mighty name, I pray that that what God is proposing for our podcast. And Lord, if it's your will, we're praying for you, Lord, to bless it. Take it to wherever you feel it needs to go, God. You are the commander in chief. You know exactly what to do, Lord Jesus. We pray a blessing and we plant this seed in your holy mighty name, Jesus, in your holy mighty name. Amen. Lord, we bring Anna to you. Anna has a situation at work. And Lord, we're praying the Holy Spirit will walk in. We're praying, Lord Jesus, that whomever is coming and sort of like, you know, doing things differently, oh Lord Jesus, that you will send a breath of fresh air and that person will relax and understand and know that she or he is dealing with other people. They can have some sort of communication, understanding as well of what is going on. Lord, I pray for Anna as well, that sometimes changes is hard for us all. It's hard for her to understand, you know. And Lord, I pray that you give her that spirit of knowledge, of understanding, patience, and wisdom. Fill her with your joy and happiness, O God. That whatever comes and whatever happens, she can look at it from your perspective, O Lord Jesus, from a loving heart and a kind heart as well. Lord, I pray a blessing upon us all tonight. Jesus, in your holy mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I was praying, you know what came through my mind while you were praying? I was thinking, when Christ asked, who is your brother or your sister? Who is your brother or your sister? And I realized I now have brothers and sisters right here, because he says, if you do the will of his father, you're his brother and sister. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you were praying, that really struck me because of the prayer, the way that you were praying, that we are all brothers and sisters.
Yep.
You, my new family.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good night, everybody. A great week.
What is that? 9 o'clock?
Oh my God.
We have Avalon.
Guys.
Yeah. Then I have nothing to do tomorrow, so we can spend a whole term.
I know.
I'm gone. Bye.
Love you guys.